Please be seated. A warm welcome to everyone this morning, and a special welcome to all moms, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers in our midst. Have a wonderful day. Everyone is invited to a time of tea, coffee, and fellowship in the hall afterwards today. And you will notice on the stage there are bedding plans for sale. If you want a great deal, talk to Keith afterwards. He'll be standing next to the stage. Also, please look at all the great announcements in the bulletin today. Thank you who brought children's craft supplies for the Halton Woman's Place Craft Drive. Applebee's outreach team gives us so many opportunities to lend a hand to someone else. And they will be in the hall today, I believe, signing up for the golf tournament if you're interested. And you might find someone there also for the Case for Kids Walk. Some great news for us is the Vacation Bible Camp has 32 registrants at the moment. So if you know of any 5 to 12-year-olds who would like to attend the camp this summer and have tons of fun, tell them to get online soon because there's only 36 spaces, so there's only 4 more. If you would like to help be one of the shepherding elders, by all means, let me know. You also have a great little bulletin in your announcements today. Take it home, put it on the fridge. It's about a speaker from Lynn will be here on Tuesday morning at 9:45 in the sanctuary. If you've ever wondered about home care and getting home care, please come. And if you know of anyone who needs home care for themselves or a loved one, this is a great opportunity to learn more. Now, the morning glories start at 9:15, and then we'll come into the sanctuary, but it's open to anyone. Also on Tuesday, you will notice in the bulletin, in the evening is a public meeting concerning Applebee's application for the severance of the land. It's at the City Hall at the Council Chambers at 6:30. The more the merrier to show support for this severance for Applebee. As I mentioned, there's lots of announcements in the bulletin. Please take it home to read. And on the back page of the bulletin today, there's a wonderful kind of poem called Listen, and it goes very well with last week's message about the walk to Emmaus Road and how to be a good host and so that others can tell their story. It's a great poem. Take it home and read it, please.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And on May 26th, there's a special music service. All groups are involved, and it's about angels. So that ought to be really neat. That's the Sunday of the regional meeting. I'll be gone, and the choir groups will be taking over, and you're in for a real treat. Any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning? Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Let us continue that recognizing of God's presence in our midst by turning to our bulletin and the screen. Parents and children, siblings and cousins, grandparents and greats, aunts, uncles, and more. By adoption, by choice, by birth, or just because. People well known, people never met, people near, people far. Come as you are, come as you will be, come and worship all you who are. Let us pray. Mother, Father, God, Brother Jesus, Sister Spirit, we gather this morning in the brilliance of a new day. We gather to sing, to pray, to hear. We are family. Amen. Our next hymn is number 226, For the Beauty of the Earth, in Voices United, 226. Please be seated. All the young and young at heart are invited to come forward for a children's time if you would like.
Thank you, I missed that one.
have of doing with my mom is we used to make Christmas cookies together. And sugar dough, I believe it was, and we'd roll it out and we'd cut it out. And of course, who wanted to wait until they were done, right? And so you would sneak some of the dough. It always tasted very good. And then a couple days later, you got to decorate them with icing sugar. Oh, my goodness. Does anybody still put their finger in the bowl to get, you know, some icing? I know I do. I absolutely love it. What? You have to test it. Thank you. I never thought of that excuse. Wonderful. You need to test it to make sure it's okay. So let us take a moment to pray. Oh God, thank you for our moms. I have to remember that. You're testing it to make sure it's good. I got to remember that. Sounds like a great line. In our lives, we always need to take a moment to reflect and so that we may mature and grow. So we mirror that in our service of worship through a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry. Let us pray. God, who loves us more intimately than any other, love us into wholeness. When circumstances in life drag us down and turn us bitter, surround us with your supportive arms. Trusting in your tender, sustaining love, we pray in silence, bringing before God any burdens on our hearts. Amen. Let us take a moment to based in the assurance of God's never-ending love for us. God's forgiveness is a beloved parent's welcome home hug. It is being tucked into bed at night, securely enveloped with self-giving. Amen. And we'll now have our first scripture lesson today.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Our first story today from the early church is found in Acts 9, verses 36 to 43, the story of Dorcas. In Joppa there was a woman named Tabitha who was a believer. Her name in Greek is Dorcas, meaning a dear. She spent all her time doing good and helping the poor. At that time, she got sick and died. Her body was washed and laid in a room upstairs. Joppa was not very far from Lydda, and when the believers in Joppa heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him with the message, "Please hurry and come to us." So Peter got ready and went with them. When he arrived, he was taken to the room upstairs where all the widows crowded around him, crying and showing him all the shirts and coats that Dorcas had made while she was alive. Peter put them all out of the room and knelt down and prayed. Then he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Peter reached over and helped her get up. Then he called all the believers, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news about this spread all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed on in Joppa for many days with a tanner of leather named Simon. Here ends our reading.
Our story of Jesus today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning at verse 36, and we are continuing on from last week's story, the story of the road to Emmaus, which happens the Easter evening, and two disciples were walking to a nearby town, downcast because Jesus having been killed, and a stranger comes into their midst and wonders what they were talking about. And if you remember that story, Jesus explained the scriptures to him, and when they got to the home, they begged him to stay, you know, the gift of hospitality. And through the breaking of the bread, they recognized who Jesus was. And then they ran back to Jerusalem to share the news with others. And so this is where our passage today begins. While the two were telling them this, suddenly the Lord himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were terrified, thinking they were seeing a ghost. But he said to them, "Why are you alarmed? Why are these doubts coming up in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet, and see that it is I myself. Feel me, and you will know, for a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." He said this and showed them his hands and his feet. They still could not believe. They were so full of joy and wonder, so he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of cooked fish, which he took and ate in their presence. Then he said to him, "These are the very things I told you about while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms has come true." Then he opened their minds to the understanding of the scriptures and said to them, "This is what is written: the Messiah must suffer and must rise from death 3 days later. And in his name, the message about repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised, but you must wait in the city until the power come from above comes down upon you." Thanks be to God for these words.
Your call.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you either sent a card, made a phone call, said a prayer, spent some time thinking about your mom this weekend? Great. Thank you. I'm Alan Warren, and today's message is using our gifts, sharing God's love. And I want to thank you for coming out on this rainy, cold, miserable. Did I tell you there's snow in the forecast? I'm kidding. But still, it feels like it. Weekend that obviously is full of family activities and family expectations. So thank you for coming. You will learn a very unique point in this passage from Acts today. And one of the things that the early church was known for. And then we'll take a moment to ask ourselves what we want to be known for, both as individuals and as a church, as Dorcas was known for some things in this passage. And then we'll look at how Leonard, on the show The Big Bang Theory, if you know that show, brought some healing and wholeness to a rocky relationship he had with his own mom on the show. Can I share with you a little bit about myself this morning? Thank you. Some of you, probably more in the choir, noticed that there's some shirts up here this morning. And if you take a really close look at them, you will notice these are clergy shirts. Okay? And so I feel a little bit like the story of Dorcas this morning, in that when I was ordained, my mom made me a variety of clergy shirts in different colors, sort of to send me off on my way. And these are the ones that are left. And if I suck in my stomach really well, you know, I can still get into them, you know? But anyway, it was a cool thing my mom did to kind of bless and encourage me on my way over 30 years ago. So a question I have for you today is, what is one way you remember your mom blessing and encouraging and trying to support you on your way? Try and find someone who you usually don't talk to. Introduce yourself. And if you don't feel like chatting this morning, you can reflect in silence on how your mom has influenced your life. Okay, go. Today or on your way home. Now, the reason I chose this passage from Acts today is because it shows a woman who used her gifts and talents, possibly even her business sense, to help and encourage others. And I thought that was a nice message for Mother's Day, thinking of how our moms use their gifts and talents to help and encourage us along life's way. Now, one of the other stories I could have shared with you about my mom is that she was a secretary at Lufkin Rule in Windsor before she was married. But then, like the women of her age, either when she was married or when Joan came along, she quit working outside the home. But my mom continued to use her typing skills to edit, correct, and type my university papers, which was wonderful. And she didn't just edit, correct my university papers, she also did them for many other students who did master's or doctorate thesis. I remember picking them up at university, bringing them home, and then being the go-between for these. Now, unfortunately, when I studied to become a minister, which is when I started writing more papers than I'd ever done in my life, I was started in engineering, then did math. Guess what happened? I moved away from home. Mom sent me off with this old Underwood typewriter and said, good luck. You know, I was in sheer panic, let me tell you. I've never seen so much red circling in my life. Anyway, it's not one of my strengths. Thank goodness you don't read these notes. Okay, that's all I have to say about that. Now, how many of you today think it's okay for a woman to be a minister? Anybody here? Awesome, thank you, wonderful. How many of you think it's okay, you know, for a woman to be a doctor, you know, an engineer, firefighter, police officer, all those married things? Thank you very much, that's awesome. Would you like to know a little side note about this passage from Acts today? Thank you. Do you know that the New Revised Standard Version describes Tabitha as a disciple? The Good News Bible uses the word believer, which doesn't give full weight to the position Tabitha had in the church. Do you know this is the first and only time in the whole New Testament that the feminine form of the Greek word for disciple is used? So that's quite amazing. I love what one author said about this fact. Have you ever heard the argument that women cannot be leaders in the church because it's not biblical? You ever heard that said? I have. I'm glad that you haven't. That's awesome. Well, as this author said, apparently, someone forgot to tell Luke that, because here it is in black and white. Luke being the author of both the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. And if you read through Luke, women play a more predominant role in that gospel than in the others. So today we recognize and honor the positive contributions of women in our lives, both as moms, but also in the many other roles that women play in our communities. Doctors, nurses, coaches, teachers, volunteers, both inside and outside the home, inside and outside the church. As that one author said, I have known at least one Tabitha in every congregation I have ever served. So I have another question for you this morning. What would you like to be known for? Think of that. What do you want to be known for? In your family? The church? The wider community? The block where you live? At work? What would you like to be known for? Anybody brave enough to give a response?
Thoughtfulness.
What was that?
Thoughtfulness.
Thoughtfulness. Thank you. Anything else? thank you. Anything else?
A Christian,
thank you. Anything else?
Being helpful,
thank you.
A loving mother,
thank you.
Being funny.
What? Being a friend. I think you said buddy. Is that what you said? New friend, okay. Thank you.
Being funny.
Absolutely. Having a sense of humor. Awesome. Do you remember what Tabitha or Dorcas was known for in this Bible story?
Sewing.
Thank you. The many coats and jackets she made for others. She is also described as being, thank you. She spent all her time doing good and helping the poor. She was known for being compassionate. Wow. Isn't that a great thing to be known for? Being compassionate. And if you dig a little deeper, there might be a lot more in these statements. Because think about it for a moment. Was the Roman Empire generally very kind to women?
No.
Exactly. Thank you. Very male-dominated society. So here is a woman who probably made her living as a tailor. Businesswoman. She herself may have been a widow. Who made her way in a very male-dominated business world. Did she use her business solely for her own welfare? No, exactly. She helped others. Was it any people? She focused mostly on widows. Women, usually elderly, with no means of support in a male-dominated society. No social services back then, folks. You know, you were on your own, especially if you did not have family to take you in. Did you know one of the things, would you like to know one of the things the early church was known for? Read the beginning of Acts chapter 6. They were known for taking care of widows. People who were generally at the bottom of the social ladder without any means to take care of themselves, especially in the ancient world. Wow. So besides asking yourself, what do you want to be known for? Maybe a challenge for us as Appleby United Church is, what do we want to be known for as a church in this corner of Burlington? Are we simply a property on the corner of Henderson and Spruce that people cut through to get to the park one way or the other, walking their dogs? I see that fairly often. Or are we something more?
We're known for our outreach.
Thank you very much. The evidence is out in the hallway there. What do we want to be known for in this community?
Helping others.
Thank you. Helping others. Awesome. Now, I have another challenging question for you. We know that Appleby has a heart for helping others. Out there, we've collected crayons and things for the Woman's Halton's Place, children's craft supplies. In the hall the past couple weeks, people have been asked to sign up for the Case for Kids Walk, Run, Ride that supports children's programs in Hamilton. You're also asked if you want to have fun playing golf, which again supports local ministries. Now we all know that who gather here. I want to ask a challenging question. If we one Sunday decided to walk around let's say 6 blocks of here, knock on people's houses, we divide you up and say, do you know anything about Appleby United Church? How many do you think would respond?
They know about
about our rabbit sale. Thank you. They know about our rabbit sale. Awesome. So that's a challenging question for us. We know we have a heart for helping others. How do we tell that story? Because it's a story that needs to be told. Now Luke, the author of Acts, wants to make sure a message gets out. And the message that God, who created the world and raised Jesus from the dead, is still active in that world, bringing about healing to the diseased. Just prior to this passage, Peter heals a man who is lame, brings hope to those that despair. In our passage, widows were being cared for, and life where death seems to reign. Now, in our scientific world, we may find this passage hard to believe. Tabitha, who had been prepared for burial, okay, gone through the washings, that Peter prayed and commanded Tabitha get up, and she was brought back to life. We know of miracle stories where people have overcome incredible odds and been made well. But we also know that they are rare exceptions, and we pray for many who still die and are laid out in the upper room. To enter the book of Acts, we do not need to check our minds at the door when we come to church, but we do need to remain open to the fact that God is still at work in the world, that the Spirit of God is still working in the hearts and minds of individuals and through human society to bring about healing and wholeness for a bruised and broken world that we get tired of reading about in the news, seeing on the internet, and on the evening news. I guess I should have said the paper. I read the paper the most. Okay? That there's still good news stories going on. Take a moment to think about the forces that came into play to overcome slavery. How about desegregation? What about the mounting groundswell in our society for concern of the environment? Can I share another little story with you this morning? Thank you. Do you know I like to sail? I think I've told a few of you that I like to sail, and I can't wait. Like, it's got to get warmer because I'm going to be out on a boat soon. Okay? The end of May, race season starts down in Port Dover. So I was at the Port Dover Yacht Club Thursday night for the opening meeting of race season. Do you want to know what was one of the things on the agenda? Plastic. The use of plastic. Not only on your boat, but you were encouraged to have conversations around your family table around plastic. What you do with it, how you can reduce the use of it. The person who stood up, who I think is the commodore of the club, said, and it wasn't that long ago, there was a round the world race. Okay, around the world. One of the boats took water samples on a regular basis. Do you know there was not one corner of the globe on this path that did not have micro contaminants of plastic in it? Think about that. There was not an ocean on the globe that doesn't have contaminants of plastic in it, where they've started to break down or whatever. I found that disturbing and staggering, that our oceans are being continually contaminated with plastic. Wow. Switching gears. Has anyone ever heard of the TV show Big Bang Theory? Anybody here? Thank you. Any of you watching? For those who don't have their hands up, which of you would like to briefly say what the show's been about? Anybody here? Could you briefly say what the Big Bang show's about?
Nerds.
What? Nerds. Nerds. Thank you. Okay. Anybody fit in? Yeah, 30 scientists who are friends, and they all have doctorates, and they work doing research at universities. Same university, I think. Anyway, one of them, Leonard, a world-class physicist, has had a difficult, ongoing relationship with his mom all the way through. Anybody know how many seasons there's been of Big Bang?
12.
Thank you, 12. That is staggering when you think of a TV show. It's been around for 12 seasons. So this was the second last season. Guess who's coming to visit?
Mom.
Fits in with Mother's Day, right? Leonard's mom is coming to visit. Leonard is on pins and needles. Relationship has been rocky, to say the least. All he's ever wanted is mom to validate him as a person, human being, and the work that he does. And somehow, something was mentioned, or Penny said, Leonard's wife, about the new job he had at the university. And she accidentally said, you should see it. And Leonard's mom says, I would love to. After Leonard picks himself up off the floor, right, because this has never happened before, he says, wow, that would be great, Mom. I'd love to show you my work. So he takes her and shows the thing, and she found some interest. Wow, that was cool. Only to discover later in the show, okay, his mom is also a doctorate in psychology, and she's writing a new book on parenting, and in a sense, he's always been treated like a specimen, and this was just one more research project. That's why she was coming, you know, to do some research on how her son turned out. To say the least, he's heartbroken. He rants and raves, you know, from a high down to a low at his friends. She's been cold and personal and very critical of Leonard all his life. So, at the end of the show, he confronts his mom. He says, you don't know how badly you have hurt me. Then he says some strange words. I forgive you. I guess if I want you to accept me for who I am, he's a world-class physicist. He's actually made it. He's got friends. He's married. He's done well in life. If I want you to accept me for who I am, then I guess I need to accept you for who you are. Even though he doesn't like it. His mom genuinely doesn't know how to respond. She almost comes to tears, very rigid woman, and she slowly makes her way over to Leonard and tries to give him a hug. It's something she's not used to doing or even knows how to do. Families are generally a very mixed bag. None of them live up to the Hallmark greeting cards. They have good points and not so good points, and they all have room for improvement. And as individuals, we all are works in progress. So the faith, church, our relationship with God is an attempt to understand that we are loved beyond measure, full stop, by the mystery, wonder, and awe that we see in the universe that we call God. And based on that unending love for us, hopefully we get the courage to help us to learn to love ourselves better, to help put aside some of our own needs from time to time so we can genuinely love others. As Leonard did on the Big Bang Theory when he forgave his mom for not living up to his expectations. What do you want to be known for? Personally, and as this community of faith called Applebee, Tabitha was known for doing good works and helping the poor. Using her gifts and talents of showing and making shirts and coats for people in the community. What do you want to be known for? What do you want Appleby to be known for? And how can we use our gifts and talents to help share God's love in the world? Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our next hymn from the hardcovered hymn book is number 556, Would You Bless Our Homes and Families, number 556. Please be seated. God has given us many gifts and talents. We use them at work to earn a living and at play to have fun with family and friends. We take a moment now to share what we have so our lives, the earth, and the communities we live in might be blessed. We'll now have our morning's offering. Jesus said, cups of water, crumbs of bread, small things count because we're kind, count as big things in God's mind.
Those we know and those we don't. Those inside our family circles at home and at church, and those in the wider circle of your love in the Burlington area and the world. Lastly, we ask for a blessing on our lives too. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you today knowing the many hats and the many roles that people play. We have roles at work, roles in our apartment complexes and our neighborhoods we live in, and roles at home. We have roles in our church and in our families. Today, O God, we take time to say thank you to our mums for the love and care they were able to give us amidst the many different hats and roles they played in their lives. We realize it's not easy to balance the many hats we all wear. Help us to ground ourselves in your love, O God, so that more of your love and grace can shine through the many roles we play. Forgive us our shortcomings, and gather all our pain into your peace, into your love and grace, so that all our lives in the world might be healed. This we ask in Jesus' name, who showed us a new world to strive for through his many acts of compassion and challenging words to those in authority, and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is 713 in the hardcovered hymn book, Voices United, I See a New Heaven and a New Earth, 713.
Fountain of life flows, and with a cry.
the rain. I see a new heaven, I see a new earth, as the old one will pass away. Where the fountain of life flows, and with a price goes to all people who abide in the land. There where the darkness brings visions from above, there where the night, bearing new light, reveals the promise of love. I see a new heaven, I see a new earth, as the old one will pass away. Where the fountain of life flows, and with a price goes to all people who abide in the land. There we will work with the love of healing hands. Labor we must, true to our trust, to reveal the promise of love. I see a new heaven,
that you do it for love by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord.